Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share, both to Joyce, those who took the time to join in person and those joining on Zoom. As always, we are learning the Lui Nishmasa and the Zeichu Nishmasa, Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. Miriam Hashem, have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. And we thank her family very much for their continued dedication and sponsorship to the Torah that we will share. So, last week was our first week back in person. Baruch Hashem, I think it went very well. It was a little bit of a bigger crowd than this evening in person. And it was interactive. So it worked very well. Tonight I'm going to ask for no comments, not because we're back to in person, but because of the topic and the subject matter. And I'm a little bit nervous about this year, but I'm still taking a leap. I prepared it and I presented it. It could be controversial. It's a touchy subject. People don't like to hear about this. They get it defensive right away. So I'm asking for no comments. Not because I don't want it to be interactive, but even if we had been learning at Shire for the past year and a half without the interruption because of COVID, I would still be asking for no comments, given the sensitive nature of tonight's topic. And don't shoot the messenger.
Can't wait to hear.
So maybe I'm making it out to be more than it is. So if you listen to last week's Shir, we're on page 241 of the second Sefer. If you did not listen to last week's Shir, you should go back and you should listen to it. Okay? On page 241 of the second Sefer, halfway through the page, what we are talking about is the fact that a person would rather be a slave and be permitted to live with a maidservant, says the Gemara, than to have the responsibility of a free man. It is clear if he will leave this world as a slave. We read this last week. I'm recapping. Tonight we're going to have a whole other topic. It is clear that if he will leave this world as a slave, his spiritual level and closest to Hashem in the next world will be much lower than if he leaves as a full-fledged Jew. What's really better for the slave? To become free and to have all the rights of a Jew. However, he wants to remain a slave. Even if you would sit with him for days and explain that it's good to be Jewish, it will not help. He wants to be a slave. So we had a shiur last week on how we are enslaved to so many things in our society and how hard it is to free ourselves from the shackle of slavery. And it occurred to me after our shiur, welcome Joanna. Joanna was on Zoom last week, so I know that she heard last week's shiur and is now joining us in person. And it occurred to me that we did not discuss one of the most, I don't know what the right word is, elements in society today that enslaves us. So I'm going to spend some time talking about technology and devices. I am not someone who lives in a cave. I am not in a Turakarte. I don't know if they have devices or not. I am not from any of those camps that prohibit or condemn technology. I do not believe that it is possible today to live without it. I want to also be clear that if, you know, when I go on my fast talk and I listen to a 45-minute shiur in the morning, that's wonderful. Those who are zooming into tonight's shiur and your koveya itim through technology, that's wonderful. The ability to have cochlear implants today through technology is wonderful. The ability for grandparents who live far away from their grandchildren, especially during this year and a half of COVID, to FaceTime is wonderful. So I want to make it very clear that I am not anti-technology. And I don't believe it's possible to live without it. And it has many, many, many positive aspects that enhance our lives for the good. Having said that, we learned last week, and the Gemara says, a person would rather remain a slave than become a free person. And we spoke about the ability and the struggle of a person to free themselves from bondage and to make change. And we didn't even touch upon, and I realized that after, devices. I gave a Shabbos shiur a week and a half ago, an in-person Shabbos shiur, and I was speaking about this Parshas Baaloscha. So the Pasuk tells us, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam Mashal Pnei Adama. The man Moshe was more humble than any man upon the face of the earth. And what does humility really mean? What is anivus? Does it mean that you're a shmata? Does it mean to believe you have no talents, abilities, or capabilities? Or does it mean to be proud of who you are and what you have and recognize that that's from Hashem? It was a 50-minute shiur, okay, with many sources and Torah sources, etc. And after a woman came over to me, she is someone that I know from the community. She's a social worker, young woman. She's a social worker in two different schools and in a private practice. And she said that one of the biggest scourges, is that the right word? Scourge, one of the biggest?
Scourge.
Thank you. See, now nothing has changed in a year and a half. One of the biggest scourges today in society is for kids and teenagers, especially, she works with teens, technology. She said they suffer so much from a low self-image and low self-confidence, and she said so much of it is because of technology. Everything is online, and everything is, I don't even know exactly what the social platforms that they use, how many likes you have, how many friends you have, how many people read your post, and it contributes to a terrible lack of self-esteem. She works in two schools. She was in Cedarhurst and in a private practice. And she says whenever she meets with parents, the first thing she asks the parents is to fill out a form or a survey on what are your child's strengths? What is your child good at? And she tries to work with building the child's confidence. But she says specifically because of technology, their self-confidence is so low because it's all about how many people like your post, how many people read your post, how many people check your WhatsApp status. And it contributes to terrible self-esteem. This year, which I have a feeling might be two parts, I mentioned already for those who came late, I'm asking for no comments, not because I want to give a lecture and I don't want the chabur style that we're used to, but given the sensitive nature of this topic and the inflammatory nature and the defensive mechanism that we all feel when we hear this topic, I'm asking for no comments, please. I've combined, when I say secular sources, I mean like from the Ummah Sa'olam, and from Torah sources. This was from January 26, 2021, a few months ago. Lauren Barak wrote, gearbrain.com. Okay, I did research, I prepared the shiur, I think it might be two parts. We're now investing nearly 8 hours a day on digital content, according to a new report from eMarketer. US adults logged 7 hours and 50 minutes on smartphones, desktops, and other devices, watching digital content and engaging with online apps in 2020, which is expected to surpass 8 hours by 2022 per day. This time is more than what the average US adult reports sleeping every night. The average US adult reports that they sleep 7 hours and 36, I wish I slept 7 hours and 36 minutes, 7 hours and 36 minutes a night, according to a 2014 Sleep Foundation report. It is likely that people are actually logging less sleep than that. In a significant portion of the nation, including New York, Georgia, India, and Nevada, between 38% to 44% of people get less than 7 hours of sleep, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Digital content was tracked across all kinds of devices, from smartphones to desktops to laptop, which I'm using now to connect with people on Zoom, smart TVs, video game consoles. But smartphones, where people spent most of the time, on average, you know there's a way on your iPhone to check your screen time. It's really scary, okay? I'm just pointing out, if you check it, it's quite jarring. Smartphones were where people spent most of this time. In 2020, average 3 hours and 13 minutes a day on their smartphones, up from 2 hours and 45 minutes in 2019. So when we talk about, how do you say the word? That I said before, but I said it wrong.
Scourge
of technology and the problem of slavery. You don't have to be physically enslaved by Paro, by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, to experience some degree of slavery in our time. And it is easier to remain a slave than to make change. My daughter in TMM, she's graduating TMM, Baruch Hashem, and they've had a number of technology awareness events, and it was more about limiting and controlling. Say it again.
She's graduating.
It's crazy. Baruch Hashem. And they brought home these little like stickers, like magnets, and one of them said, with technology, you can control everything except technology. With technology, you can control everything except technology. I'm going to quote from a piece that when I was preparing this year, I reached out to my father through technology. And I said, remember you told me something about technology? I could tell you exactly what I said to him. I said, where did I write it? Dad, remember you gave me a quote recently about technology. Either it controls us or we control it, something like that. So he said, I'm going to look it up for you. And he sent it to me. So this is, I don't know who the author is. I don't know what the book is. It's an excerpt. It's called The Wandering Jew. Okay. Wandering Jew by Micha Goodman. Again, I have no idea, but one quote I want you to hear. The subheading is called Excellent Servant, Terrible Master. Listen carefully. And specifically, it relates to our topic because the Sefer writes that people would rather remain enslaved than work to free themselves. Excellent servant, terrible master. Quote, technology cannot be stopped. It is developing at a fast and unstoppable pace. Neil Postman, a theorist in the field of mass media, has proposed the following distinction. It is foolish to be against technology, and that's how I started the shiur, okay? No, but Shaliva, Michal Haaretz said you should throw your devices. I don't believe in that. I don't live like that. That is not what I am saying at all. Do not misunderstand. Obviously, the people are zooming in, and this morning I went for a shiur and listened to Rabbi Shai Shechter, and I quote Rabbi Zevlev all the time, and technology gives us cochlear implants, and technology gives us FaceTime for family members. I don't mean throw it in the garbage, okay? And you don't have to go to the bank because you could deposit a check from your house, and it saves an errand, and there are many positive things, including writing by shiur. Being against technology is like being against food. It's become a necessary part of our society and our lives. But although it would be foolish to be against food, you can't say I'm going to throw food in the garbage, I'm never going to eat food again. You can't live like that. It is entirely reasonable to ask, how much should I eat? What should I eat? When should I eat? It would similarly be foolish to be against technology, but likewise, it would be reasonable to ask questions about how we consume it, how much and what we eat and when. Turkle put it most eloquently, smartphones make excellent servants and terrible masters. And I thought it related exactly to what we're learning because last week we specifically learned how a person would rather remain enslaved than free. Again, smartphones make excellent servants and terrible masters. As a servant, it means it serves your purposes, a smartphone saves us time. As a master, it swallows up our time. As a servant, it strengthens our relationships. As a master, it disrupts our relationships. And I don't want anyone, that part of the reason I don't want comments is because I know you all have negative experiences where you've seen other people using technology and everyone has their own opinion. But I think it's very important for all of us, Michal Haaretz included, to be thinking of myself when I prepare the shiur, when I give the shiur, when I say the shiur, instead of us becoming defensive and saying it's somebody else. Unless you literally don't use technology sitting in this room or on this, well, if you're on the Zoom, you use it, okay? Unless you literally do not use technology. So that means this applies to every single person here. Myself, I'm talking to myself. You go to restaurants all the time. I'm not talking about you're on the phone with the doctor, your child called you from school, an emergency came up. So everyone use their seichel, please, when I give this shiur, okay? You very often will see, including young children at the table, for extended periods of time, while they're out, people scrolling through their phone. Go to a levaya or a wedding, a chuppah. I'm not telling you things like I fell from the moon. I'm telling you MS. Sit at a chuppah. I know some people are saying Tehillim on their phone. Okay, I know. I also sometimes say Tehillim on my phone. I was doing it today, actually. I was at a levaya today, and before it actually started, I had a few minutes, and I had my small purse, and I didn't have my sefer Tehillim, so I took on my phone, and I was saying some Tehillim. Okay. But in general, check out the chuppah. Go to Levaya and see what the people next to you are doing. Clearing their emails, checking WhatsApp, what's new on Instagram. As a servant, a smartphone saves us time. You don't have to go to the bank. You don't have to find parking. You don't have to go into law. You don't have to wait in line for the teller. You could deposit the check in 2 minutes and you're finished. As a master, it swallows up our time. As a servant, a smartphone strengthens our relationships. I have not seen my parents. They should live in well for a year and a half. So I FaceTime my father every night. So are you going to say that that's negative? Should I not be doing that? Should I throw out my smartphone? Obviously not. As a servant, it strengthens our relationships. As a master, it disrupts our relationships. Not so long ago, smoking, I'm continuing again, I'm quoting from, remember this book is called, I don't know anything about the book, only the two pages my father sent me, from The Wandering Jew by Micha Goodman. not so long ago, smoking was pervasive throughout society. Science had not yet discovered the dangers smoking posed to humans' physical health. But even after the dangers became known, it took decades for people to internalize these dangers, decades to internalize the danger and change their behavior. And now in many countries, smoking is frowned upon or banned in public places, and far fewer people smoke. Similarly, when digital technology was born, it took time for science to discover the dangers that excessive use poses to our mental health. I was talking to a social worker. She said she went into the field because she wants to help children, and she works in three different venues, two schools and a private practice. She said children have less self-confidence than ever, and it is in a large part, not solely, due to technology. How many people read my WhatsApp status? How many people replied? How many people like my post? How many friends do I have virtually? It took time for science to discover the dangers that excessive use posed to our mental health. I remember, are you coming to Shear? Come. I wanted to call your mother last week and I didn't know your name or number to give her naches. Please come. What did she say?
She has a math final tomorrow.
Oh. Okay, Bezrat Hashem next week. Hatzlacha Rabba. I was talking to a woman a couple years ago, and she told me that her husband was putting one of the kids to bed, and the child said to the father, but when I say Shema, please put away your phone. Similarly, when digital technology was born, it took time for science to discover the dangers that excessive use posed to our mental health. But that era is over. It is now clear that the increased use of technology is a danger to our emotional prosperity and our children's mental health. The problem is that scientific knowledge exists, but it has not yet been internalized. The findings are known, but the behavioral habits to protect our mental health have not yet been developed. Like my daughter brought home, with technology from TMM was like a card. With technology, we can control everything except technology. This is a story that happened in 2002 when I was preparing Shear. I didn't remember how long ago it was. I Googled it. Talking about technology. I Googled it. I remember the story. I didn't remember it was so long ago. It was 2012, the beginning of 2012. And it's funny, the guy's name was Chance. The person's story happened to Chance, like Mikra Chance. Okay, not Jewish. It seems that Chance Both, B-O-T-H-E, a college student from Granado, Texas, was driving along a road and texting when something struck him. Not literally. Something occurred to him. Perhaps he shouldn't be driving and texting. He was having a texting row, argument, spat with a friend. He caught himself, and the last thing he texted was, "I need to quit texting because I could die in a car accident." It was as if the witches of doom, this is not a Jewish source, as if the witches of doom were spying on this conversation. Because shortly, very shortly after his final text, which "I need to quit texting because I could die in a car accident," his car plowed off the road and down into a ravine. This happened 6 months ago as he was driving home. But now Both can talk about it. He suffered serious injuries, a broken neck, a fractured skull, brain trauma, and a crushed face. He now says, "Don't do it. It's not worth losing your life. I went to my grandmother's funeral not long ago, and I kept thinking, it kept jumping into my head, I'm surprised it's not me in that casket. I came very close to being the person in the casket, to being gone forever." And the author of this article writes, "It's easy to be," okay, this is for sure, I read, I don't know, "it means self-righteous or holier than thou, sanctimonious. It's easy to be sanctimonious, which means self-righteous or holier than thou, but is there anyone left in the world who hasn't texted while driving at some point?" If you're one of the rare few who could say you literally never in your life sent a text while you were behind the wheel of the car, then kol kavod, you mamish get a prize. I think you're one in a billion. Is there anyone left in the world who hasn't texted while driving at some point? People do it because the text is terribly important, or because they're terribly bored. I was stuck in traffic today for an hour. Or because, do you know what Alice just said to me and I have to reply? or because the more gadgets there are, the greater the need to play with them. Fines, F-I-N-E-S, in other words, you're going to be fine, unfortunately don't seem to make a difference. At least Chance Both is alive to tell the tale. I'm now quoting from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha. Rav Aaron Leib says as follows. Oh, I have a typo. One second. In my notes, I just want to correct them. My notes when I go home, I can correct them on the computer. One moment, please. I have a pen. One second. I wrote in my notes it's page 201, but it's really page 210. I'd find one at the same time that you found one. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, if you have the biography, I'm quoting from Aaron Leib Steinman, so that's how you should read the biography if you haven't read it, page 210. As a general rule, says Rav Aaron Leib, parents should not blame themselves if their child veered off the path of Yiddishkeit. You did everything right. You tried your best. So Avram had a Yishmael on Yitzchak. An Esav, I'm not minimizing it, but sometimes the Torah is teaching us that a parent could do their best effort. That doesn't work out how we want. You consult the Daz Torah, you give the best chinuch, you try al pi darko, and the child went a different way. As a general rule, so it's painful, it's sad, but it doesn't mean that it's your fault. It's up to Ribbono Shel Olam. As a general rule, said Rabbi Aaron Leib, parents should not blame themselves if their child veered off the path of Yiddishkeit. However, if they allow bad influences in, such as, quote, unfiltered cell phones or a device with unfiltered internet, they are a causative factor in the child's spiritual decline. At several gatherings devoted to the needs of those requiring internet for work, Rabbi Aaron Leib cited the words we pray daily in Shacharis, V'lo lidei nisayon, we should not come to a nisayon, nor into the power of challenge. A person's goal is that he should not be subjected to nisayon. If someone has an unfiltered cell phone or computer with internet, and he was talking specifically not only to adults but also about children, by the way, it's unfortunately a problem with adults too, he is prone to stumble during a weak moment despite learning Musar beforehand. The Yetzer Hara is very strong in this area. I've heard Rav Shai Shechter say multiple times, quoting his father, Rabbi Hirshel Shechter Shlita, that in an area where the world, society is very lax in, we need to be even stronger in. Therefore, one who does not take strong preventative measures to prevent against technology will likely be ensnared in its temptation. So a parent is not to blame if the child veered off the path of Yiddishkeit. However, if the parent gives the child unfiltered devices, then ultimately the parent can take, has to take, some achrayus for what has happened. I'm now quoting, I saw this reference that I didn't see last week in Mishpacha. The final page of Mishpacha is called The Music. What's it called, the last page?
Yes,
of
Endo.
Thank you very much. So did you see it was the Ross, whatever they call themselves, the Ross family from, where do they live, Woodmere?
I'm not sure where
Rabbi Yitzi Ross. He's a Rabbi in South Shore. He's a Rabbi in South Shore, Rabbi Yitzi Ross, and he has a number of children and, what? He lives in Lawrence, thank you very much. And he's a very much loved, successful rabbi at Yeshiva of South Shore.
And he has a parenting column also, somewhere. He writes a parenting column.
Right, so wait. So last week in Mishpacha, in Endo, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, he was featured with his children. It was either in Family First on the main Mishpacha. It was very interesting about the band. He and his kids have a band. Anyway, last week, he was in Endo. And it made reference to the parenting blog that he has. And a couple of things it mentioned were that he writes about cell phone use and how parents who use it as babysitters, using the devices as babysitters. Okay. So I went to the website. It's called yidparenting.com, yidparenting.com, yidparenting.com. And I had to search a little because there's a lot of posts and a lot of years, whatever. Okay. So I looked through a number of different posts. So I'm quoting now from Rabbi Yitzi Ross. He's a South Shore rabbi and a parenting expert, I guess. Dear parents, he writes, last week we heard from a frustrated father regarding his children and their addiction to electronics. You know, someone reached out to me last week. I think the shir was not so understood. And she said, because as we spoke about slavery, not regarding technology. And Shani, who wasn't, I guess, able to join us this evening, mentioned that we see that from the generation of the desert. The first generation passed on that mentality to the second generation, because in Parshas Chukas, when the people complain about lack of water and they want to go back to Egypt, that's not the first generation, that's the second door. So Shani said, you see the effects of chinuch. So someone reached out to me who is a child of Holocaust survivors, and she said her parents always wanted her children to have, their children to have a better life. They didn't pass negativity on to their children. Okay. This wasn't about negativity. It's about our behaviors that influence our children's behaviors. So if I am constantly on my phone, so I'm not teaching negativity, I'm teaching slavery to the people who are around me. If your child happens to be sitting next to you at the Levaya, or hopefully at the Chuppah, and you're constantly on your phone, so what are you teaching your child? So Rabbi Yitzi Ross writes in one post, by the way, I have all the sources here if anybody wants actual sources, I'm happy to email you the actual links of everything I'm quoting. Okay. Dear parents, last week we heard from a frustrated father regarding his children and their addiction to electronics. I had asked everyone to share their opinions, and I received many blog posts and over 150 email replies. So this is quite a heated topic, which is why I asked for no comments. I compiled all of these ideas together as best as possible. And Baruch Hashem, it seems there's hope if we play our cards right. So he asked people for suggestions, etc., in regard to this frustrated father and his children's addiction to technology. On Wednesday morning, says Rabbi Ross, I was sitting in yeshiva, yeshiva of South Shore, when two boys walked in. The boy who came in first turned to his friend and said to him as follows, and Rabbi Ross writes in brackets, please forgive the run-on sentence. And this is what the boy said. I am attacking with the baby dragon on the highest level combined with the prince because the baby dragon has blast damage and the only thing that can stop the prince is blast damage. So unless he has a fully upgraded baby dragon to counteract mine, I'm unstoppable! Exclamation mark. Maybe some of you know what they're referring to. I'm not sure. So Rabbi Ross said, I told this boy, I remember learning about a dragon in the Gemara, I think a Maseches Avodah Zarah. To which the boy looked at me and he said, Rebbe, I'm discussing really serious stuff. It just validated my concerns. Namely, electronics have switched from a fun outlet to a destructive and or obsessive habit. Think of times when you just have a few extra minutes. Again, don't think about everyone else. Yes, we have all seen the people in the restaurant who are sitting at a table and they're all on their phones. And we have all seen the people at the chuppah. I'm not talking about taking pictures or the videos or saying to them, okay, please use your seichel with this shiur. I'm also not saying to go home and throw your device in the garbage. I'm not going to do that. I'm not recommending that. But think of the times when you have a few extra minutes. And it's so convenient to just scroll. Anything new on WhatsApp, anything new on WhatsApp status, anything new on iMessage, that's the extent of my social media. Anything on email, what's going on in jpost.com, what happened in the Yeshiva World News, even though I checked it maybe an hour ago, what happened in the Times of Israel, let me see my calendar, even though I know my calendar, anything else I have to. So you're just sitting there for those 5 minutes. What did we do in the olden days? We didn't have these things. I didn't grow up with this. I don't know. What did we do? Did we read a book? Did we look at a newspaper? Did we cut up some fruit? Sometimes I think to myself, doing nothing is better. I'm not talking about if you're doing something productive on your phone, okay? That's not what I mean. I'm stressing that. Don't think she's such a fanatic. That's not what I mean. I'm quoting from Torah sources and from secular sources. Clearly, society is a problem, and it infiltrates into our society as well. And yes, it's one of the worst slaveries that we face today. So I told this boy, I remember learning about a dragon in the Gemara, I think Maseches Avodah Zarah, and the boy looked at me and he said, Rabbi Ross, I'm really discussing serious stuff. It just validated my concerns. Namely, says Rabbi Ross, electronics have switched from a fun outlet to a destructive and even more obsessive habit. In order to understand the issue better, I'm continuing with, so it's from Yid Parenting, I think we need to take a step back and see where it's coming from. We all like to blame society. We like to, I'm quoting, I'm not saying my own thing. We like to blame our schools. We like to blame our communities. However, I asked over 30 boys during the week, and they all replied, they feel their parents are also addicted to their cell phones. The Gemara says right at the end of Maseches Sukkah that the child speaks in the shuk the way the parent speaks in the home. I asked over 30 boys, informal survey conducted in the yeshiva, during the week, they all felt their parents were also addicted to their cell phones. If you're not in this category, so if you don't find it something you struggle with, then you're yotzei min haklal, honestly. And for the Hamon Am, and for most of us, I think everybody, I'm talking to me, could try to minimize the time we spend on our devices. Here are five questions that can help you figure out if you're one of those people who are addicted to your cell phone. So Rabbi Ross says, here are the five questions. Ready? One, when you wake up in the morning, do you check your phone within the first few minutes? Two, when going to sleep at night, do you watch a show, shop, or surf the web on your phone or other device? So now, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Because let's say you say, Moda'ani, and then until Sidaim Nawa. What's the last thing you do before you go to bed at night? Does it include being on a device of any sort? On Shabbos, do you constantly feel your phone vibrating even though you're not wearing it? Parentheses, Hatzalah members and doctors get a pass. Four, when you're talking to your children, are you routinely holding your phone? Or are you routinely checking your phone? In some of your cases, it would be your grandchildren. Five, do you base your schedule on how much battery your phone has left? Here goes, says Rabbi Ross. If you answered yes to any of these questions, congratulations. Not only are your children addicted and enslaved, you are also addicted and enslaved. Remember what we read here. It's brilliant. Smartphones make excellent servants and terrible masters. As a servant, a smartphone saves us time. As a master, it swallows up our time. As a servant, it strengthens our relationship. As a master, it disrupts our relationship. So if you answered yes to any of those questions, and any is italicized, then congratulations, you are also addicted. So what is there to do? Says Rabbi Ross. Obviously, so what I wanted to say is, and I see the person who reached out to me last week is not on Zoom tonight. She was last week. She was out of the neighborhood. So I hope she listens to the recording, because I think she misunderstood the shiur last week. It wasn't about transmitting negativity to our children. It was about transmitting a certain mentality in the way we live. The first door, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, always wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. They couldn't leave a slave mentality. And that seems to be what they transmitted to their children. You could be very positive and you could say Mitzrayim is wonderful. It's not about transmitting negativity. It's about transmitting a slave mentality. Obviously, you need to understand, said Rabbi Ross, that if you are constantly on your phone, never mind. This is just talking about the time we spend on our phones. Never mind the Lashon Hara, the negativity, the sarcastic joke at other jokes at other people's expense. I'll give you an example. I don't know if I should or shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was on a certain chat, and somebody posted that somebody had a baby. So the normal response to that is mazel tov. Someone replied, another one, exclamation mark. True story. So never mind the Lashon Hara, the Motzi Shem Ra, the Late Sanos, the Ka'as, the Gaiva. We're just talking about the time we spend. Obviously, you need to understand, like, why can't we sit through a chuppah not on our phones? Why? I don't know. Why at a Levaya are people clearing their email inboxes? I don't know. Obviously, you need to understand if you're... You know what I tell myself sometimes? Don't check your phone. Mashiach did not come. Because if he came, I would know. It didn't come, so leave it in your purse. What did we used to do when we were online in the super? I'm not talking about if you're saying Tehillim, okay? Or listening to Shir on your Bluetooth while you're waiting in a half-hour line. That's not what I mean. Did I stress that enough? What did we used to do when we stood in line at the supermarket before we were all carrying our devices? What did we used to do? I don't know. We looked around. Maybe we talked to people. Maybe we had a pocket Tehillim. You need to understand that if you're constantly on your phone, some people, I feel like the phone is like another, like it's like attached to their hand. If you're constantly, like I'm not exaggerating, if you're constantly on your phone, holding your phone or checking your phone, your children will not view the phone as something negative. So I don't know why that person last week got the impression I was talking about negativity. I wasn't. Your children will not view the phone as negative. They will perceive it as a normal, acceptable, and necessary way of life. They will think that that's the behavior we should imitate. We should always be with our phone. In order to address, I'm still quoting Rabbi Ross, in order to address, and this applies to your grandchildren also, okay? In order to address our children's addiction with the iPad, cell phone, or electronics, it would be prudent to work on ourselves first and limit the amount of time we use. I'm not giving anyone mussar. I am not saying that Michal Horowitz does not struggle with these things. I'm not saying throw your phone in the garbage. I'm saying that all of us have to ask ourselves, what is our relationship? Is it my servant and I'm in charge? Or is it my master and it's in charge? Who is enslaved, me or the phone? Like my daughter brought home. I don't remember what else. There were a few other, like they were like this, like fridge magnets. But one I remember well. With technology, you can't control everything except technology. So in order to address our child's addiction with the iPad, cell phone, or electronics, says Rabbi Ross, it would be prudent to work on ourselves first and try to limit the amount of time we use and check our phone. If the child always sees you doing this, it's not negative, it's a normal, necessary behavior. You always have to be on your phone. So no one talks anymore. That being said, if your children are doing well in yeshiva, have friends, and are easygoing, you may not need to do anything, says Rabbi Ross. If, however, you feel your kids are hooked, these next 18 ideas are for you. He presents 18 ideas compiled from the 150 emails he got. Thank you again to the many people, he says, who helped compile this list. Remember, some of these ideas might work for your family and some may not. Which works best for you? Keep in mind, it won't be easy. However, if you are consistent, you will be successful. It won't be easy. It is clear that if you leave this world as a slave, your spiritual level and closest to Hashem in the next world will be much lower than if you leave this world as a free man. Is it better to be a slave? It's certainly better to be free. But what does the person think he wants to remain a slave? And even if you sit with him for days and explain it's easier to be free, it's so difficult that we can't undertake this. Keep in mind, it won't be easy. If you are consistent, you will be successful. So he gives 18 tools or ideas that may or may not work for you. One. So I don't know. This to me sounds very hard. I don't know if I'm going to implement this, but okay, maybe it'll work for you. If possible, make a room set aside for electronics. It could be a den, a basement, away from all bedrooms. All phones, iPads, and devices need to stay in that room. This goes for parents as well. Expecting an important text, don't carry your phone with you. Go check it every so often. I don't know if that's good. To me, that's a little bit worse. You're constantly going into the room, but fine. If that works for you, then that works for you. Two, too much electronics is really not healthy. Set up days the kids cannot play any games. This includes checking or updating. Make sure your kids are aware of this in advance, says Rabbi Ross. You can have designated days that the kids will be able to play. Okay. Three, you don't want your children to resent you because you're limiting the device. So the problem is it's necessary. It's necessary for us, and it's at a certain age also necessary for our children. You know, I'll touch the carby. Like if every kid in the class is texting and you tell your child they can't have a phone, I'm not talking about smartphone or not, but to text. So you're making the child the social outcast. You're essentially putting your child in chayram because the kids, they don't use the phones to make plans. They do use texting to make plans. So it doesn't mean to throw it out. Just like we use it to communicate, they also use it to communicate. You don't want your child to resent you because you're limiting these devices. If you feel it's becoming a point of contention, ease up a little bit and make them earn their time. To counteract the social issues brought on by lack of conversation. You have all seen it in restaurants. Maybe it has been us in restaurants. You're sitting at the table and you're on your phone and they're on their phone and the kids are on their phone. We're all on our phones. There's someone right there. When we were in Israel, oh my gosh, it's mamish almost exactly 2 years. I took a picture of it. There was a sign outside one of the little stores, the cafes or take-up places, walking from the Chor Vashol, you know, the little path down to the steps to the Kotel. We've met there before. Halavai, we should meet there again. So there was a little store that had a sign on outside, like a little blackboard, a stand, and with chalk. It said, pretend it's 1981, talk to each other. To counteract the social issues brought on by lack of conversation, try and keep a fair ratio of time played versus activities with others. So for example, even if it's raining outside, they should be doing other things other than iPad. Electronic devices should never be brought into bedrooms. It's better if they don't play within a half hour bedtime, but what does that mean? If they see my device in the bedroom and the last thing I'm doing before I go to bed is on my phone or any other device, so what do they say? It's fine for you. Why isn't it fine for me? On Shabbos and Yom Tov, this one is scary, but unfortunately tells us something about how powerful these devices are. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, all devices should be put away in the parents' bedroom. So the obvious reason is because, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, there's something called half Shabbos, where the kids are totally Shomer Shabbos, Lo Aleinu Hashem Yirachim, but they only text. It's very easy to blame society and the school, but every person has to ask themselves, what's my relationship with my device? I'm not saying anyone here texts on Shabbos or Yom Tov. God forbid. Okay, that's not what I mean. Make sure there are plenty of good alternatives for your kids. So there has to be something else in the house for them to do, or something else at Bobby and Zaidi's house for them to do. Board games, bike riding, water fights, warfare, Nerf warfare, hide and seek. I'm going to have painting. My kids like to paint. We order the easels on Amazon. They might resist initially, but if you're persistent, they'll actually have fun. And I remember a couple of years ago hearing that Camp Morasha, I think Camp Morasha, it was in Mishpacha, the modern Orthodox camp all the way to the Raivin camp, they were totally banning devices. So this isn't a problem in modern Orthodox circles, and it's not only a problem in yeshiva circles, something across the spectrum. If you're able to join in on the fun, so you know, you tell your kids go paint, not if you're cooking supper or you're doing laundry and you don't have time, but if you're sitting on your phone at the island and the kid is encouraged not to use their phone, so what kind of message am I sending my children? If you're able to join in the fun, remember it would be counterproductive to be holding your phone while you're watching or playing with them. 8. For I don't want to rush this, and that's why I said I think it's going to end up being two parts, because I have other sources. And I was quite nervous on my way here. Once I started, I was less nervous. Saying Hashem Safasai Tiftach Ufi Yigitol Sechar. I know it's a touchy subject. If anyone doesn't tune in for week 2, we'll know perhaps that it didn't sit well, but if it makes us feel uncomfortable, and maybe we should ask why it makes us feel uncomfortable. And if we don't like to hear it, maybe we should ask ourselves why we don't like to hear it. And maybe it will make all of us a little bit more aware, and if we all spend 5 less minutes a day in that slavery mode because of something that I quoted tonight, then the whole thing is kedai. 5 minutes times all these people on Zoom and in person, that's a lot of time that we're all going to be saving. I think even if you do nothing, stare at the wall and think about Hashem, it's better than doing nothing on the device.
It's 100 days from Rosh Chodesh.
Say it again.
100 days from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz to Yom Kippur. We have 100 days to work on this.
100 days from Rosh Chodesh
Tammuz.
Yeah.
To Yom Kippur.
Oh.
So we have 100 days we can do this. Think of how many minutes.
So I like that. Think of how many minutes we could save. If you mamish say 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes. Listen, I'm not going to start a WhatsApp group, haha, get it, pun intended. They have the Shmir Sa'ayin group, they have the Shmir Sa'ayin group. I'm not in charge of those. If you do that, call it Kavod. But think to yourself, maybe for this 5 minutes when I usually use my device, I'm talking to myself. I will put it down. So 5 minutes times 100 days minus Shabbosos, that's a lot of time. We're just in the middle of a lecture. Thank you. Let's go. 8. Forcing your child to stop using all devices is not a good idea. Quite a few parents have mentioned to me, says Aras, they tried this. It backfired. Just like someone telling you to stop using your device is not going to work. We are dependent on it for many good things. So if you tell your child who has become accustomed to, you know, I remember when someone reached out to me, their child was starting high school, going into ninth grade, and they asked me about a phone. I'm talking about a kosher phone. And they didn't want to get the child a kosher phone. And I said, I'm not a rabbi. You could ask your own daughter. I think it's a terrible idea. If the whole ninth grade is going to be texting, I'm talking about getting a kosher phone, and your child is not, it's going to be a big social problem. You're going to cause problems for your child. Nine, we'll do one more. Get them invited on play dates to friends that aren't into devices. It's easy enough to call parents and be honest. I'm trying to wean my child off of electronics. Can you make sure they play with other things? It's really odd when a group of boys sit around and watch one boy playing a game. Sometimes I've seen it, you know, a bench on Central Avenue. I remember my fast track a couple of years ago. It must have been before COVID. And there were like three or four teenagers sitting outside one school on one of the benches. So they were literally all on their phones. They're sitting next to each other, and each child is on their phone. Socially, we are destroying ourselves. Mentally, we are ruining ourselves. Spiritually, we are decimating our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. And we have to remember that with technology, you can control everything except technology. Because technology can be an excellent servant. We've given many examples of how useful it can be. However, it can be a terrible master. Who's enslaved to who? And I like what you said. It's 100 days. It's Rosh Chodesh or the Yom Aleph, so Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And if everyone, there's no sign in, there's no login, there's no choose this half an hour. Control is 5 minutes times 100 days. So pischu li pesach shamachat, vani avtach lahem pischudo shal ulam. Just open up the pinprick of a needle and it'll open up a hallway, a ballroom. Masechas Yuma 38, lamaches bala tahir mesayin oso. He who wants bali tahir, he who comes to be purified, mesayin oso, he will have siyata d'shmaya, the Ribono Shel Olam will help you. You have to show Hashem you want it. We're not happy being slaves. We left that in Egypt. We have to continue the process. We have to partner with God. We have to show Him we want to be free of this, how do you say it? Scourge in society. Ma'azor Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam should give us the kochos, Ezehu Gibor. This week is Perek Da'at of Pirkei Avos. Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh HaSitro. Who is a mighty warrior, one who conquers his inclination. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Why is it like the opening of a needle? Why not put your finger in the sand? I don't remember whose pshat this is. It's not my own. Why not put your finger in the sand or put your own finger in water? So water, it'll make an indentation, sand. Because if you take a pinprick and you put it through paper, the pinprick's not going away. If you put your finger in sand, when the tide comes in, the hole is going to be closed up. And if you put your finger, I don't know, in water, when you take your finger out, it's not going to be a hole anymore. But if you make a pinprick, it's very teeny. But if you make it in paper, it's permanent. So Ribono Shel Olam says, a small indentation. Just show me you're trying something. I believe that this is a topic that we all struggle with. If you say you don't, you're either not being intellectually honest, or you're living in a different generation. And however much we use our devices, I think I could certainly use it less. Maybe you think you could use it less as well. I don't know. I think if we could all show Hashem we're trying a little, permanent change, the needle and the paper. And Be'ezor Hashem, He will open up the opening to a hallway. We are learning the Zeichen Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa, Meir and Fod, Meir and Beschai Mitzak, Allah Hashem. May our Hashem have a continuous Aliyah in the Schus of the Torah we share. I thank everyone who joined us in person. And I thank everyone who joined us on Zoom. I looked the wrong way. Thank you to everyone joining us in person. Thank you to everyone joining on Zoom. And Be'ezor Hashem, if you don't come back, I'll know it was taken the wrong way. But we are continuing because I have more sources next week. Thank you so much. Okay, kol tov, everybody. Besoros tovos to all.